Everything you need
for a brand new day.
Cliffo and Kate for breakfast.
On the Cliffo and Kate podcast today, Dr. Judy is back in from Monash IVF. She's been helping you and hubby Matt through this decision you guys had to make in regards to some frozen embryos you guys have on ice, Kate.
Yeah, we finally have made a decision. Look forward to discussing that. We also cross live to CK, who is on his way to PNG with the 3rd Brigade and Mr. Daniel Smith on their tour of duty.
It's coming up. The Cliffo and Kate podcast.
This is Triple M's Tour of Duty. On Townsville's 102.3 Triple M.
I was a bit worried because we were supposed to have him on this morning just after 8 o'clock. Then we get an urgent text. Issue at customs. Don't call. CK, have you made it through the gates?
You know, I like latex gloves as much as the next man, but I'm so glad that we made it through customs, safe and sound. We got 3rd Brigade with this, mate, so these lads know how to open doors. Very exciting stuff. We're currently in Brisbane at the International Departure Lounge. So obviously interesting when you go back to go forward. So we've just come down to Brizzy. We're now going to go up to Port Moresby, spend some time up there, and then move our way up to WeWac, where we'll be spending the week and obviously doing service on Anzac Day.
But you just got the schedule only yesterday. Tell us what you've got planned out for the next couple of days whilst you're in PNG.
Yeah, well, boss man Smith is with me, and obviously we've got a great relationship with 3rd Brigade and Major Taylor Lynch, who we kind of had the opportunity to go to PNG with last year's leading our trip, and some of the cool stuff that we're going to get up to over the next couple of days. You know, we're going to be hanging out with the PNG military. We're going to be hanging out with some soldiers from North Queensland that are spending time and training the soldiers up there. WeWac, do yourself a favour, Google it. It literally is just the cliche jungle kind of vibe. Wow. Beautiful city. Sepik River, just, I do believe, to the kind of the north of where we are, renowned for its crocodiles and incredible prawns. So seafood is great. And obviously me with the mind on the game, but obviously such a pivotal point in World War II. Where the final battle, or one of the final battles, kind of went down, and the Australians ultimately had an absolute win. So I'm really excited to touch base on this history that so many of us back home are connected to.
On Anzac Day, every radio station in the country will stop down and pause a moment's silence and all that sort of stuff. But Triple M's Tour of Duty is pricey back in the day. You on this one, CK. This is unprecedented access to be where you are for Anzac Day on Thursday. This is, like, you're not going to hear this anywhere else.
No, Clipper, you know, and that's not lost on me, mate. Again, you know, the opportunity, and it's a lot of my friends said, like, oh, have fun up there and whatever, but it goes so much deeper than just coming up for a cheeky junket and some FP beers on the north of PNG. But, you know, Smithy and I are in a position where we just feel so fortunate to be working closely with 3rd Brigade. And also, it's funny, we've smuggled probably more Tim Tams into PNG than I've ever thought was possible.
Wow.
And we're also doing a piece with the Cowboys in the lead-up to the huge Defence League round on Saturday. Obviously, the Cowboys have got a great connection with the people of PNG. So big shout-out to Scoop, Jackie, Jeff, all the whole team. My luggage has probably got more Cowboys merch in it than actual clothes. So we're really excited. Again, Triple M being that facilitator between the Cowboys, between 3rd Brigade, and obviously the community. So, again, such an exciting trip for us all.
You guys behave yourselves. I'm a bit concerned. We've got Smithy, you got CK, you got Brig, Dave. I'm sure that it's going to be a great trip. We really look forward to I'm looking forward to
He says it's not a junket.
He says that.
First thing he said was like prawns and seafood. That's all I heard.
Guys, I promise I'll hit that gift shop on the way back through Port Moresby and bring you back something shiny, all right?
Yeah, I like duty-free rum, if there's any
Okay, I'll see what I can do for you, Cliff.
Triple M's Tour of Duty. Stay on 102.3 to hear it all. It's all going to be on the listener app as well. And of course, that service live on Anzac Day, live from PNG. It's a one-off only here at Townsville's Triple M. Enjoy, CK. Thank you, mate.
Love you, guys.
Triple M's pressure test. 10 questions, 60 seconds, and a grand in the hand.
Pressure test back tomorrow, Wednesday, April 24. Kate has a free answer.
I sure do. But first, the question. Cliffo, what is the addictive substance in alcohol called?
Oh, the addictive substance in alcohol.
Mm.
Oh, I don't know. Wonderful?
Wonderful.
I don't know.
It's ethanol.
Oh, ethanol.
Yeah, same stuff that you pump in your car.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't be pumping it in our body then, should we?
It's scary.
Ethanol, your free answer for tomorrow's pressure test on Triple M.
We are very excited to welcome Dr. Judy from Monash IVF this morning. Good morning, Judy. How are you?
I'm wonderful, and thanks for having me, you too.
I don't know if you can tell this, Judy. I can tell Kate's nervous.
I am nervous because a bit of a backstory, Cliffo. So I have a beautiful daughter, Stevie, who was born via IVF. We went through Monash and had a wonderful experience with you guys. We are now stuck with, well, not stuck with, I got an invoice a couple of weeks ago that we now have some embryos that are sitting down in Rockhampton. They're frozen. And there is a potential decision that needs to be made. And you were great and you came onto the show a couple of weeks ago to give me an option or to sort of talk us through what my options are with these frozen embryos. Can you sort of rehash what my options are again?
For sure, Kate. So the options are to keep them in storage and give yourself some more time to make that decision. You may consider donation either to somebody that you know, or you may donate to our clinic or altruistic donor embryo program that Monash IVF has in here in Queensland and, in fact, in multiple states in Australia.
Yeah, I guess the other option too is just some form of destruction.
So
a lot of people will do nice things with the embryos. Is that right?
That's right. So some people choose to let those embryos to succumb. They're just in little straws frozen in liquid nitrogen, minus 196 Celsius is the temperature that they kept at. We take them out and they very rapidly warm up on the bench. And some people do choose to come to the clinic and pick them up from us. So we put them in a nice little presentation card. Some people get them made into like jewellery or something like a memento. Some
plant
people
a tree?
Put them under a tree or a pot plant so they sort of feel they've still got them with them, which I think is a lovely thing.
Oh, I have plenty of friends that have made that choice and they've either got some jewellery made or they're sitting in a pot plant out the back, which I think is lovely. Talk us through this donation space. If I was to donate the embryos, what does that look like?
So how that looks is, first of all, you decide, do you want to donate them to somebody that you know? So maybe some friends or family members that need some assistance to achieve a pregnancy, or you can donate to what we call our clinic recruited or our altruistic embryo donor program. To go either way, there's very similar steps. The first step is to have a medical assessment. So we get you to complete like a medical history for yourself and for Matt, and this is for any person wanting to donate. There's the history, just to rule out that there's not something significant in your history that may preclude you from being donors. And if that step is, then we run that by our medical director or one of the medical senior doctors within Monash. Mm-hmm. And if you get the all clear to proceed, then we step you through processes of additional testing, so blood tests, genetic testing, and also some mandatory counselling. And the counselling's not about assessing are you a bad person or a bad couple. Mm. It's about your understanding.
We already know the answer's yes.
it's about us that you understand the process and the legal requirements behind this. So, yeah.
That makes sense. Mm. Well, I want to tell you the decision that we've come to.
And we're going to do it straight after this break.
We can go to break and I'll come back and I will tell you the decision that we've come to, Judy.
For sure.
Do you feel very like, this is very game showy, isn't it?
It is very game showy.
The decision after this break.
That's lovely.
Yeah, we will be back. She's an incredible woman. And I think, Kate, you particularly got so much out of your chat with Judy.
So much. It gave Matt and I so much food for thought. And we really have taken our time and spent a lot of time in coming to this decision.
Yeah. And we'll hear it next on Triple M Breakfast. It's Cliffo and Kate. We've got Dr. Judy in from Monash IVF. It's always lovely to have you in. Thanks for your time, Dr. Judy.
Thanks for having me back.
So it's been a couple of weeks since you came in. You gave us a lot of food for thought in terms of what we were going to do with these embryos. And I guess
just set it up again, Kate. You and your hubby have some frozen embryos.
So Matthew and I have some frozen embryos down in Rockhampton. We have a beautiful daughter as the result of IVF. We now have, I think it's either 3 or 4 embryos that are frozen. I received an invoice. I paid the invoice, but it did get me thinking what we should be doing with these embryos. After the conversation with you, it really gave us a lot of food for thought. Initially, I was quite scared, thinking, I don't think I could donate. It would be really tricky. It would mean that my biological children would be raised by someone else, which was hard to come to terms with. And then Matt and I sort of sat down and we went, well, what makes us the best parents in the world? What's not to say that there are some wonderful people out there that are absolutely dying to have a family and we potentially would have the ability to give them that gift? So Matthew and I have come to the decision that we are going to be donating our embryos to the donor program at Monash IVF.
That's an amazing, it's an incredible gift that you're looking to do. And it's an incredible gift that, in fact, anybody can do. Our donor program has quite a long waiting list for people looking for embryos. Mm. So we welcome people to contact us with open arms and we will do everything we can to make the process as easy as we can for you.
I feel a little bit emotional saying that out loud because it is a really big decision, Judy. Mm. It's a really big decision. So now that we've made that decision, can you explain to me what that means? You mentioned all of the genetic and the blood testing, yep, and that sort of thing, and the counselling that Matt and I will have to go through. What happens after that?
Yeah. So the first step is some paperwork,
yeah,
that I can organise to email to you mm-hmm, later today. And then we will link you up with the donor team who will then start through those processes, which is the recording information about your medical history. It's all non-identifying, but we have to record that info because if you proceed with those donation or anyone proceeds with their donation, any children born from that donation have the right to access your contact you when they turn 18.
Right.
Okay, so that's one thing. And the other thing is the donor team will make clear is that you cannot make any money from this donation. Yeah. It's completely altruistic. So they will step you through all those processes. They will be there all the way. Mm. But alternatively, you or anyone wanting to donate, particularly keep in contact with your clinic because sometimes just that friendly face that you're familiar with, we will help you through that process and go through.
It makes total sense. How are you feeling?
I feel a little bit emotional, actually. I guess for me, there is an element of the unknown. But then I said to Matt, I was like, imagine getting a letter or a phone call in 18 years' time to say, hi.
Yeah.
We haven't met before, but, you know.
Thanks to you, I'm here.
Yeah, well, I just think that would be such a blessing and a gift. I have a final sort of question. Obviously, it's going to be an anonymous donor. And will they know sorts of things like, you know, that I have blue eyes and blonde hair and can I write them a little letter or can I include some pictures of my current children to say, hey, this is what your kids might look like?
So, yes. So they will get that sort of general picture of you, not a photo, but they'll know that you're blonde, you're how tall, what Matt's height is, weight and build, skin colour. Mm-hmm. And they get that information.
Got it.
And then you can also keep in contact with the donor team yourself and find out the outcome of the donation. So, you know, how many children have been born and just general information, gender. You won't know where they've gone to and you won't be able to find that out. And most likely those embryos would go to someone not in this area. Same, we try for anybody. If they're in Brisbane, they would try to donate to, you know, a different area if they can. And it can be quite a few months to go through all this process. So, but again, the donors team are amazing and they will support you all the way.
Well, both Matt and Kate, tall and good looking. So whoever gets your embryos wins the genetic lotto. And again, this is Kate and Matt's decision, but I guess we should acknowledge that we respect it's a tough decision that many couples have to make probably on a daily basis across Queensland. And whatever decision you make, I'm sure is right for the individuals and their families in that, Kate. So we respect all decisions, but I think it's wonderful the decision you've made. One more thing,
you asked about can you include a card? That's an amazing thing. And yes, we would take that. We would keep it on file. And I believe it's offered to the recipients.
Got it.
And if they accept it, if not, we still keep it safely and securely because sometimes people will change their mind down the track as well. That's a beautiful thing to do. And it's very heartwarming. Amazing. And thank you to you. And thank you to anyone out there. Please contact Monash IVF. We've got a 1-800 number and that you can call if you're anywhere.
It's in front of me. I've got one of your pens, 1-800-628-533 or monashivf.com. It's always so great to have you in, Dr. Judy.
Thank you. I hope you'll have me back again.
I want to talk about getting older.
And I am here to talk.
Because you're the oldest person. Kate's got 12 months on me and I will not let her live it down. So I turned 40 this year. So
big birthday this year.
I'm probably, to people listening to Triple M, I'm probably towards the younger end of the demographic.
You are.
But certain things happen when you head towards, well, certain things happen, I think, even when you leave your 20s into your 30s that start to show your age. But certain things are happening from my 30s into my 40s while that transition occurs that I think highlights my age. So I want to throw it out there, 133353. How did you know you were getting older? What started happening in your life? You're like, oh, man, I'm starting to become maybe my parents. Could have happened to you. Like, if you are older, could have happened, you know, many, many years ago. But what are those things that happen in your life that you're like, oh, man, there's a sign that I'm starting to get older?
I've got so many I can add to this, Cliffo. I've got one that happened regularly. Recently when I went to Mount Isa.
Mine was a travel one too.
Travel
got me thinking about this.
Yeah, I went to Mount Isa recently and I've never done this before. I went into the hotel room. I unpacked everything in my suitcase and put it away in the cupboards and the drawers. So I had an empty suitcase. I basically moved in for two nights.
Play the soundtrack.
That's okay. me doing the flap again.
Oh, I better open up these drawers and pack everything away.
I've never done that in my, like,
no,
my 20s.
No, I've never done that.
I lived out of a backpack for, like, most of my 20s when I was traveling and stuff. I've
Is
never
that an
done
age
that.
Thing or did you just have too much time on your hands?
But I think it's an age thing because I wanted everything hung up. I wanted to see my outfits.
Or
proper.
I needed
to, yeah.
Okay, mine was a stark realization. And, again, it was, like, weekend before last, I went to Melbourne just to visit a mate super quickly. For the weekends. But in packing for that, I was packing my toiletries bag. You know, 20s, Cliffini's 30s, Cliffo. Like, what are you throwing in your toiletries bag? You're throwing your toothpaste, your toothbrush.
Deodorant.
A bit of deodorant.
Yeah.
Razor. Back in the day, I've got a bit of a beard these days. But that sort of stuff. But I noticed that the first thing I was packing in my toiletries bag was an abundance of pills. Now, first, because I've had a bit of a sore neck. I mentioned that I went and saw it's on our Instagram today, that I went and saw a back doctor because I've had a bit of a stiff back, a stiff neck. So I put in like a row of ibuprofen.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh, I better have, you know, some anti-inflammatories if I get a sore back or whatever. I thought, oh, for putting that in, I better put in like a one of those silver rows or whatever of Panadol as well. So I've put the Nurofen in the Panadol and I thought, oh, what if I get a little bit of heartburn? So I put some Rennies in there as well too. And I've recently started taking a multivitamin every day. So I took two of those out of the big jar and just put them in the pocket as well. And I thought, man, how life has changed.
Well, because you don't want to be like laying in a bed or in another city with pain and it's 2 o'clock and you just can't go to your cupboard and pick stuff out. You need to pack it with you.
Man, I remember back in the day, you'd throw a pair of boardies in a bag. Oh. Maybe a towel.
And roll with
packet it. Packet of condoms. You're done. Not anymore.
But you're right. The pills are a thing. When I go away, I also throw in the Claritin or something like that in case I get allergies.
Or there may be a high pollen count where I'm going.
High pollen count. I throw in some Naprogesics. If it's a certain type of the month, I eat a couple of those every month. But you're right. It's true. It's a sign that you are getting old that you need to pack all your pain pills.
What was it for you? Think back. 133353. What was the little thing that happened in your life? What was the sign that you're getting older? Or throw your husband and wife under the bus or a partner, brother, sister, whatever. What are they doing that you're like, wow, they weren't doing that 10 years ago? 133353 on Triple M. Susan, how you going?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Do you relate to the stories Kate and I are telling you about starting to feel older?
Certainly do. It's my hubby. he, as I was just saying, he used to ride from the Kelso to the Copper Refinery on a push bike.
What?
That's
a bit. How many Ks would that be?
Oh, it's got to be over 20. He used to ride to work and back.
Wow.
Yeah, now we're in our 50s. He couldn't ride a push bike from Kerwin to the Willows.
Susan, is he the kind of guy that takes after Cliffo in a sense that if he's going away for the weekend, he has to pack all of his pills and painkillers and all that sort of jazz?
He certainly does. It takes 3 lots of painkillers a day just to be able to get through the day. And he's waiting to have a knee replacement on his knee.
Yeah. If you see Susan's husband selling a bike on Townsville Bike Swap and Sell, you know why. It's Triple M Breakfast.